So I'm Cindy. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm going to be your speaker for today. Thank you all for being here. I appreciate what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I was a skinny, sickly little baby, and I think that encouraged my parents to push food on me. And so by the time I was eight, I was I believe I was a compulsive overeater already. I struggled with my weight. I've got this medley of pictures that I look at when I sit in in front of my Zoom, my computer and do my Zoom meetings. And I was just a cute little chubby kid, but everything, everybody, said, "Oh, you really need to lose weight." So, I look at myself when I'm a teenager or when I'm in my 20s or 30s, and I'm like, "Wow, if I was only that skinny when I was 10 years old, that would be great." But that's just what happened. I went to the doctors. They were trying to convince me to stop eating. They would give me diets to go on. My mom was on diet pills, and again, when I was 12, she let me have her diet pills, and I fainted one time, and that was the end of the diet pill experiment. Kind of like in the Big Book, the beer experiment. So I got to try a lot of those things. I'd also done, it seems like each time I went on a diet, I would lose some weight, never ever got down to my goal weight. And then when I went off the diet, just like you hear so many people, I gained my weight back plus interest. And so as decades went on in my life, I would gain more and more until I was about 40 and I weighed 270 pounds. And I'm only 5'2" right now. I was 5'3" then, but still a lot of weight to have on a 5'3" frame. Morbidly obese, I think my BMI was like 35. My husband, and I got married while I was overweight, so that's interesting. A whole nother story. I don't want to go into it, but he liked me overweight, but not 275 pounds. And so he was reading an article about this gastric bypass thing. And so when I was 42, I started to look into it, and my sister had just passed away a couple years earlier from obesity. She was only 45 years old. So when I turned 42, my husband is like, "Yeah, I don't want to lose you." I go, "Okay, I get it." So we looked into it and I got it. I got the bypass. I lost maybe 60. Well, I went from 280, which I was at the time of my surgery, down to 160. So I don't know, what was that? 120 pounds. So I lost 120 pounds. And that was great, except I was not ready to be that thin. And I think part of my reason for being overweight was so that I could hide behind it. And I can't hide behind it now. All of a sudden, I started getting all this attention, and I didn't like it. I was really uncomfortable. So I think that kind of pushed me into, "Oh, you don't need to lose any more," or, "You don't really need to be this skinny," kind of subconsciously. So I started experimenting with foods that I shouldn't be eating, but I did, and it wasn't a bad adverse reaction. So, I went from 100, 160 back up to 210. So I gained that much weight back. And I struggled with trying to not gain any more or to lose it. Eventually, I lost maybe 30 pounds. And but that was the hardest 30 pounds I've ever had to lose. And I was exhausted. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And in the meantime, I had switched from my food addiction to an alcohol addiction. And that sent me to the hospital. And that was enough for me to say, I'm not drinking anymore. Well, now I don't have alcohol to use as a crutch and a tool. And I kind of want to go back to the food. And that's just not working. So I'm going to AA meetings, and somebody said, oh, hey, I'm going to an OA meeting. Do you want to go with me? And I don't recall telling her I was struggling with food. I might have. But she took me to my first OA meeting. It was on June 21st of 2015. And I felt at home. There were maybe 7 or 8 people there, and some of them were a little overweight and some of them were a little underweight, but they all were talking about how this is the solution. This is what's working for them. They still had struggles, but I thought, oh, wow, I want to not have the struggle with food anymore. Like they had struggles with life and dealing with life, but their struggle with food seemed to be much less than I was having. So I said, okay, this is it. This is where I need to be. I didn't get abstinent. I didn't even understand abstinence at first. I got a sponsor within a month or two. I started working the steps with her. She lost her abstinence and was told that she couldn't sponsor any of her sponsees anymore. So I was on the lookout for another sponsor. And the first person I had asked when I first got in, she said no, she couldn't sponsor me. Of course, that's crushing, right? But I wasn't going to let it deter me for some reason. Like, that would have normally deterred me, but it didn't. And so I asked the second person, and she said yes. And we worked together until I got to the through the fourth step, and told her my fifth step actually. And then she lost her abstinence, and I had to find another sponsor. So I went and asked the first person again, and she said okay. I felt like I stalked her or something. I just got, kind of figure looking back on it, especially that maybe that was a little bit like God's will and not my will. Like I really wanted that first person and that wasn't going to happen. But I persevered. I went through the open door that was open instead of the door that I really wanted open, but it wasn't, if that makes sense. And so I started working with that person, and she didn't even have to hear my fifth step. She didn't even, know my character defects. Well, by now, was that 2015, 2016, is when I started working with her around step 6 and 7. And it was around step 6 and 7 where I, and maybe because of the new sponsor, I don't know, because I didn't have that hard and fast rule of this is the one food that is going to keep me, that is my abstinence. That wasn't it. And I was talking with her and I kept bugging her about what is my abstinence? I still don't understand it. And she said, well, you just kind of have to find out what it is for yourself. It's different for everybody. And she didn't have the same abstinence as I have. So she's like a completely different abstinence. She goes to different meetings than I do. But she is in my area, and I don't get to see her very often still. But it was somewhere around step 6. I've been working with step 6 or 7 with her that I just kind of said to her one day, maybe I just don't have to understand what abstinence is. Maybe I can just say I'm abstinent now. And so I just picked the next a date. Like it was sometime in August or September that I had said this to myself. So I just said, well, I know I'm abstinent now, so let me just pick the date that is 1 year after my first meeting. So my abstinence date is June 21st of 2016. So I will be abstinent for however many years that is soon. So it would have been good for me to do my have my share just after that, but that's cool. No problem. Thank you. So yeah, and so I've been coming to meetings. I've been working the steps. I've been keeping in contact with my sponsor. Boy, let me tell you, I working with my AA sponsor for the first 3.5 years. I'd gone through the steps. What she does is kind of wean us off of her. So we met every week for 1 hour every week. We went through the steps. This is my AA sponsor. So I kind of asked my OA sponsor if I could do the same thing. So we did that. She's like, that sounds great. Because a lot of times OA sponsors, you'll hear that they want to speak with you every day for 15 minutes. My sponsor didn't want me to have to do that, or she didn't demand that I do that. So there's another good reason for me to keep that sponsor, because I wasn't sure I was wanting to be like I was that desperate to call. I probably would have called somebody every morning at 6 a.m. but for 15 minutes. But I have found that for me, talking with a sponsor once a week for an hour was enough. And my AA sponsor weaned me off. So, okay, let's do every other week now. And at the time I got my OA sponsor, I was only meeting with my AA sponsor once every 6 weeks. So my OA sponsor was like a refreshing dip to have another sponsor to be able to talk to and just blah out all my problems of the week every week. So she allowed me to do that. And now, how many years is that? 16 to 25,
You've come
nine,
up
eight,
on
nine
10
years
years.
that I've
That's
had
it.
her. We're at every 2 weeks now. So I feel like such a baby in this program, but I feel like it's so necessary. Like this is the disease. This is the substance that's going to kill me fastest right now. I still go to AA meetings. I still have my AA sponsor. I know that if I take a drink, it's gonna be ruinous. But with food is all around me. I have to deal with it every day. Alcohol, if I don't think about it, if it's not in front of me, if I don't see people drinking, which I don't have to see weeks at a time usually, it's not bothering me. But with food, it's there every day. I go shopping every week, sometimes twice a week, depending on, which store I want to go to. If I go out to eat, I've got to think about that. It's like front and center multiple times a day, and tens of 20, 10 and 20 times a week. I feel like I need my sponsor more. And 7 or 8 years may not be a lot for some people. We see in meetings who have 20, 30, 40 years of abstinence or of at least being in the OA program. I sort of feel like an old timer, but I sort of still feel like a newcomer, a baby, a child in this program. But we get to be where we're at without beating ourselves up for it. And I'm still like learning that and still working on that and still convincing myself that I'm a good person today. I'm where I'm supposed to be today, whether I have problems with certain foods every day or they're starting to be, those desires and cravings are starting to be lifted from me. So let's see, where am I? That was what it was like, and that's what happened. And so what it's like now is I go to way more OA meetings than I do AA meetings. I am in contact with OA people way more often than I'm in contact with AA people. I go to meetings. I use my sponsor. I have sponsees. I'm a big proponent of service. It's what keeps me coming back. It's what keeps me abstinent. It's what keeps me sober. And it also is a crutch. I can see my addiction to food transferring over to other things. Like if I keep busy enough, I'm not bored. And that's a big thing with me. If I'm bored, I can, it's like, well, what do I eat now? I'm done with a thing. Yay, I finished it. My reward is what? Food? Yeah, that's usually it. So, still working with my sponsors, both of them, on trying to have a balance with service work, with keeping busy, with being overly controlling. I just realized that I'm trying to control what Anne is doing on her Zoom. Like, God, you could turn that, yeah, turn this off and turn that off, and this is where this is. So I get to see that, and I get to pause before I say something and put my foot in my mouth, and have to do an amends later. So I think with what it's like now, like this is a life beyond my wildest dreams. I can't even imagine what my life would be like without having you all as a tribe and as friends and as confidants. And to enjoy life that I never thought I could enjoy, to be able to do things I never thought I could do. Like, how many times did I say when I was overweight and obese, oh, morbidly obese, oh, I'll never be able to fill in the blank, get on an airplane and fit in a seat and be comfortable in a movie theater seat or be comfortable doing some activity without people staring at me because I'm so overweight. Like, she's not going to make that hike, or she's not going to be able to swim that far, or she's not going to be able to paddle that stand-up paddle board. And I can do stuff like that now. So yeah, it really is beyond my wildest dreams. And not have that struggle trying to figure out how to lose the weight, try to figure out how to stay on a diet, try to figure out how to ignore the cravings that are driving me crazy when there's a table full of food, especially at AA meetings or AA get-togethers, multiple tables worth of food sitting there, a food that I used to dream about and contemplate how I'm going to get more of it. Like, I can go to something and see a table of food and go, yeah, I don't have to eat that now. I used to. And it feels really good to be able to say to myself, that's a big difference. That's a nice change. And I just, yeah, I there's a saying in the big, it's not in the big book, it's in the AA 12 and 12. And I'm going to get it wrong, but I'll paraphrase. And it has to do with after the St. Francis prayer. And I believe it's on like page 99 of the AA 12 and 12. And I think that's step 11. And it says, we look upon the far horizon and wonder what's going to come up. And I just get goosebumps when I think about There's like more to come, like more good stuff. And yeah, I don't know. I know my life is going to be probably is going to be longer than it would have if I was overweight. And what is all that good stuff that's going to be that's out there beyond that far horizon? That, you know, there may be rough, tough stuff that I have to go through, but there's a whole lot of good stuff that's I'm going to be able to go through. So I got less than a minute left on a whole 20 minutes. So I will stop there and you can go ahead and stop the recording and I will pick a topic of what is something beyond the far horizon that you would like to see that you could dream of if you stick with OA?